This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Leilink on Joy 94.9, coming to you live from Melbourne, Australia. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Roshan, hello.
Hey, how are you going?
Good. Long time no speak. It's been 2 weeks.
Yes, no, it has been. It has. We've got an awesome show today. We're going to talk about some awesome stuff about technology.
Technology. What are we talking about?
Switching off. I know it sounds impossible. It does. But
that doesn't work here, because then people would hear nothing and it'd be dead air. That might not work.
No. So switching off from technology, internet, you know, your mobile, that sort of thing. And I guess sort of just seeing how long you can last, if you can last at all. I know friends of mine that have tried it.
How long can you last, people? Yeah,
the Facebook switch off. I'm deactivating my Facebook. I can't do it anymore. Next minute, they're back on. So, you know, can you do it? You know, how long can you last? Well, that's fun stuff. I know other people that are always on it, they drive me mental. So, you know, it's interesting.
So yeah, people, if you can do it, if you've done it, let us know. Tell us how long you lasted. Let us know the best and worst thing about being out of the loop.
The most mind-annoying thing, not getting your text, not getting your emails in particular.
Yes.
Work.
And what else are we talking about?
Well, interesting thing is that Batwoman, is not going to have a lesbian wedding. There was a proposal, but there's not going to be a wedding. So that's interesting. DC have said no, so we're going to cover that later on.
So, you know, if you want to message in and share your thoughts on no lesbian wedding for Batman, Batwoman. lesbian wedding for Batman. That could be a bit odd. that might get people reading the comics.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you've been able to switch off from technology, send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Now, some of you avid listeners may be knowing the fact that we've spoken a lot about Effing Dykes and Krista Burton. She's a bit of a favourite of ours. Mm. If you don't know who Krista Burton is, she writes a blog called Effing Dykes. It's a great guide for our community. Her whole premise is about writing a blog for women who do not have gaydar and helping them develop gaydar.
So they're new to the scene?
No, not necessarily. Like, I have really bad female gaydar. I have no gaydar, actually. It's
out of order.
Yeah, pretty much. I can pick your 100-footers, but that's about it, you know?
Yeah, right.
The rest, no idea.
No dice.
And so, you know, her blog helped me a lot. And she's quite funny, and she's, you know, very articulate and a good read. So, unfortunately, Krista Burton is taking a break.
No way.
I know. After 5 years of doing her blog, she's decided that she's going to take a break for a few months to recharge her batteries, and she's not really sure what shape and form her blog will take in the future. So at the moment, she's going to just have that break and we'll see what happens. So don't despair, people. You've always got her back catalogue, as we could call it, of all her lovely blogs, so they're always a good read and a bit of fun. But thankfully, we have Suffolk City, which is Aldis, who was on the show last week talking to us all about her blog. And she's hopefully going to be able to fill that void for us, which is really important because we need someone to fill our void.
Absolutely. You've got to have a blog somewhere that you can read and you can go to and you can get updates on this kind of thing. And so hopefully Aldis will be able to do that. So for all the Effing Dyke fans, I'll be able to transfer that love.
Exactly. And the good thing about LD's, what I like, is that if you follow her on like Facebook and things like that, so what she will do is she'll just put out, "This is my topic for the week, discuss."
And, action. Go.
Yeah. And then, you know, and when she's out and stuff, she'll ask people. And, you know, I saw her on Sunday and she's like, "Okay, this is my topic this week. Go for it." And it's great because people can just put in their input and then she'll put that in the blog.
And she'll write about it.
And it's like, okay, don't use my name. Yeah. She'll give me some bizarre name. That's all right.
Joint ventures. Love it.
And it's all good. So, you know, we got to support the sisterhood out there, people. So, yeah, if you look on our website, you'll be able to see a link to Suffolk City when I put it up, which will probably be in the next few days. Otherwise, just go to Lottl and on there you can look through their menus and you can get to Aldis and then look at her blog and read, because it's quite new, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to get another voice out there too and give, you know, as you've said, Krista needs a holiday. She needs a break. So let's give LDs a go and she can blow our minds.
Exactly. So just, you know, if you want to join in on the conversation, send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Leylink on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Leylink on Joy 94.9. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Now, switching off from technology.
This generation's worst nightmare.
I know, we've got probably people out there who are like in the fetal position, hyperventilating at this stage.
I would be. I can understand. I honestly can understand. I mean, can you imagine? Nothing. No internet, no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram. Oh God, Instagram, that would, you know, injure people, injure people's lives. Imagine turning off. So we've read an article recently in the paper by Charlotte Wood.
Yes.
And she's a novelist, I believe. And she's decided she's going to challenge herself and go 7 whole days, yes, a week. Too long for me, I think. But she's gone, she's done it, and she's written about it. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Her findings are interesting.
Yeah, so basically she decided that she was going to, you know, that she felt that once she was online that she felt like she was a kid having too much sugar, that she just felt hyperstimulated and oddly depressed. And she thought that this is really bad. And she's just getting this feeling more and more when she's having this online interaction with, you know, watching her Facebook, Googling or whatever she's doing. And so she decided, okay, I'm going to just deactivate everything for a week. So she thought, you know, and she also got tired of hearing her own voice in that medium. She said that it just sounds boring because slightly different online.
And you can imagine too, I mean, look at her, she's got 2 Twitter accounts, 3 Facebook pages, a Pinterest, a Spotify, and she's on it all the time. Like, can you imagine? I'm struggling with my own 1 Facebook, let alone 3 Facebooks and 2 Twitters. Like, that's, she's taking on a bit.
Yeah, I know. See, I've got, 1 Facebook and okay, I've got the one for the show, but yeah, I'm struggling with that. Sorry, people. Something's got to give. And no, I don't Twitter and do all that. It's just too much. I'm sorry. I don't think people need to know that I'm walking down the street now or whatever it is. I've got nothing important to tweet. So, you know, I just leave it out there and just go, you know what? No one cares.
Check in. And I'm walking down the street at the moment. It's awesome.
You know, things like that. But yeah, and I do have a lot of email accounts. So I think in all, I probably have about 12 different email accounts. So work-related, my private email, then my fun emails, then my junk emails, and then work, my professional, you know, by professional, I mean my work-related linking to me and stuff and all this kind of stuff because I'm trying to keep all these things separate, you know.
Yeah, that's
and
huge.
You have a lot of emails and by the time you go and check them and if someone somehow gets in the junk filter and they get through, it's like you open up your emails and there's like 100 emails.
Yeah.
You hyperventilate.
It's busy. It's a time-consuming thing, I think. Emails of a morning, first thing you do, you wake up, open your eyes and, you know, check your Facebook, you check your Instagram, you check your Twitter, you check emails. If there's anything important, you have to sit there and reply and then wait for a reply. Like, it is a time-consuming thing by being connected. And I think nowadays is there something we are always connected. You know, your smartphones can do everything. And, you know, even bathroom breaks, that just means reading the news on your phone, right? I mean, everybody is always connected all the time. So, you know, stepping back from that, that would be tricky. I mean, that's hard. I wouldn't be able to do it.
And so, yeah, so Charlotte basically decided that she was just going to switch everything off. She put a out of office on her email account for the week. I believe she deactivated, or she didn't deactivate, but she just said she's not going to touch her Facebook and her Twitter accounts for the week. And I don't know if I don't think she was able to deactivate her SMS feature on her phone.
I think that was one of the things that she was allowed. She was allowed to do the phone call portion of the phone usage, but not the SMS or the MMS.
Yeah.
So
and not the Google Maps, which can be
that's right.
So she deactivated all this thing, and she was a little bit apprehensive in the beginning, but she thought this will be good. And yeah, so day one, she basically, you know, got up in the morning and she didn't check her emails. Like most of us will get up in the morning and grab. Yeah, I do. I do grab my phone. Do you grab your phone?
Constantly. Honestly, in the morning, it's a real struggle because it hit me in the face a few times because I'll drop it until I wake up.
Oh, I thought you'd fall asleep with it in your hand.
Well, that's exactly what happens. You know, I'll pick it up and I'm like, okay, what's happening? And boom, okay, yep, I'm not awake yet. So that takes about three times. But then there's a consistent read on the phone, of course, and you check your emails, you check this, you check that, you drop the phone once more in your head. Yep, you're like, okay, shower time, obviously. I need to wake up. But yeah, no. And then it's funny, I'll put the phone down to put it on charge before I go to work and then hop on my laptop. Just, you know, because in that 13 seconds that I charge my phone, there might have been an update that I didn't see.
Exactly, so, and that's very important. You may have missed something.
Exactly, right, you know? Exactly. So you've always got to be, you know, connected. I mean, what she says here, I totally understand. You know, she said that the whole idea was that she was worried that she was needy, that she needed that interaction. And I totally get that because, you know, I see people dropping off from the Facebook planet all the time. And you're like, oh, I miss them so much. Would people miss me if I dropped off Facebook? Would I get messages? Is being like, are you okay? What happened? Where's your Facebook? I mean, I get it. You do feel needy.
See, I don't
so
notice
connected.
That.
Really?
Okay, I'll tell you about the thing. But anyway, she was talking about the fact that, she didn't check her emails in the morning. She wasn't swiping her device, you know, her tablet as she was checking other things and stuff.
Yeah.
And then she got up early in the morning and just enjoyed her breakfast and had a shower and just did all that. And she did feel a bit isolated. And then she wanted to go to a shop and realized that she couldn't check where the shop was.
She couldn't
find the location because she wasn't able to use her device. So, you know, this is where I think, you know, I've got a good old Melways in my car.
Oh.
It's a few years old.
But it'll work.
It'll work because just in case your phone dies, what are you supposed to do?
Panic. All I'm thinking right now is panic. If your phone dies, you go home and charge it. All else pauses until then.
Yes, but if you don't have anything in your car and you're sitting there in the middle of nowhere and you're thinking, well, the good old Melway, you know, come on, I've had one of those. It was the first thing my dad bought me when I got my first car. It was
really?
He bought me this and goes, here you go. Make sure you don't get lost, Busher. And I'm like, thanks, Dad. And bought one a few years ago. I haven't used it. I will admit it's probably collecting dust in the back seat of my car. But
just in case
I get lost. It's probably out of date too. But yeah, so that was her big problem. And I think that's a big issue is that we forget about Google Maps.
Yeah, or, I mean, I think we forget about directories. And as she said, she actually had to call up the directory, the phone connect, to get a number for the shop, which, I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever needed to do that, you know?
Yeah, because they don't deliver the white pages and the yellow pages anymore.
Well, why would they? It's all online. Everything's got everything. You know,
I know. Like, I don't, yeah.
You don't need anything anymore.
My dad has that. And I'm like, Dad, why do you still have the white pages?
Yeah,
I didn't even know they still made this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. This is ancient. You should put in an antique shop or something like that. Like, they still have these? Absolutely. And that's where, you know, she's mentioned that, you know, she couldn't find a shop, for example. The idea of not having Google Maps is the scariest thing in the world for me. I don't understand how she did it for an entire week. And I mean, day two, as she says, you know, she's got this free time thing. Like, I'm really envious of that because I've never felt like I've had free time because I'm constantly looking at the internet, constantly
reading.
Yeah,
she hasn't got the pings of the emails.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
and that, yeah, when she came home, her husband was laughing at her because she was doing household chores and she was sorting things and he was standing there chuckling at her because he thought it was the funniest thing that he'd ever seen.
So less connectivity increases productivity within the home.
Yes.
That's what we can learn.
And then, yes, she was unable to watch her favourite programs because she wasn't able to program her devices to record them.
Oh, no.
Because she did it always online.
Right. See, we depend on online so much. But she says that as well, that, you know, she even her work she started doing, you know, she was transcribing because she's a novelist and she was doing interviews and she did work that, you know, that normally she says it would take her ages, you know, and she'd have to actually have a program or an application that stopped her from going onto the internet so she could do jobs. And now she got it done much quicker. So I suppose there was some positive in it.
Yeah, and I think also for her the benefit was the fact that she wasn't being distracted by emails.
Because
when I go to my email account at work and there's double figures or triple figures in that inbox, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
If I go over the 100, I'm
tough morning.
It's horrible. I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, please stop. Stop sending me emails.
You know what I hate? I hate the weekends where, you know, you've been disconnected from it kind of thing. You've been out or something, you've had to go away and you haven't had access to the internet or something. And then there comes that Monday morning, you're like, ooh, should I check it? What's going to be in there? I get really nervous. I'm like, what email have I neglected over the weekend? And am I going to get yelled at by, like, you know, seven other emails? Like, where have you been? Why haven't you replied? That, the Monday morning checking email, that always makes me a little nervous. Absolutely.
See, on my phone, I've deactivated all that notifications for all the emails and all of Facebook and all of that because it really irritates me. And
really?
I don't like my phone pinging and binging and bleeping at me. It's like, nah. At work, my phone is usually next to me, but it's silent.
Oh.
I don't feel it's appropriate to have it constantly there. It's there, so I'll check it. But, you know, it's not there that it's bothering me.
Yeah.
And all those notifications. And I know people, if you're not answering an email within an hour, they freak out. And I'm thinking, I didn't know you sent me an email. I'm checking my work email, my private email. I'll check at my lunch break. Yeah. I check in the morning. I check maybe at home. You know, it's like,
I think
what happened? What's so important?
There's two extremes. I mean, I'm a big believer of the two extremes because I'm completely different. I need every single notification to make a really happy noise. So I'm like, yee, what's on the phone now? So
somebody
I look
loves
into
me.
It. Exactly. And you know, it's just Twitter being all like, hey, someone else has a better story than you. I'm like, awesome, I'll go read it. But then you've got the other end of the spectrum. My sister, for example, she doesn't answer anything for ages. You'll have a call and then a week later it's like, oh, hey, saw a phone call here on my phone. Everything all good. Everything all sweet. And then that, you know, for people like me, you're like, oh my God, this has been 7 days without anything. It's crazy, you know, it's much crazier. But, you know, you're waiting all that time for people. But then, you know, there's got to be a happy medium, surely, you know.
You're a Gen Y. Gen Y always has to be connected. Us Gen X's, you know, like, it's great. I appreciate it, but I don't need to have it attached to me 24/7.
Right.
I can go a whole weekend with forgetting to have checked my Facebook and then I check it and go, oh, whoops. Like you were saying a few weeks ago, I missed someone's birthday or something happened because I just haven't checked and then things happen and then I read things and go, is that a joke? Is this serious?
This happened.
Oh,
this
whoops.
Is a thing. Exactly.
And then I look at it and go, oh, I haven't checked I haven't checked Facebook in like 3 days. Okay, that may not have been such a good idea. But it means I was busy doing stuff.
Like living life or something?
Yes.
Really? Are
yes.
you sure? See, I just don't understand that because you're not really living life unless you're updating everything you do in your life on your Facebook. Because it's not Facebook official. It means it never happened, you know? Come on. You didn't go to a restaurant on Saturday night, Basha. No, you have to let us know. You have to check in. Otherwise, it's not credible information.
No, I don't do it. I don't do it. And I have a very strict rule, which people may have heard. If you are doing more than 3 updates per day and they are not life-changing updates, so you haven't met Obama or Angelina or something, I don't know, something that's completely, then I will block you from my newsfeed.
There you go. Full on.
Because, what I found was that these people were clogging my newsfeed with stupid updates, right? And I was actually missing out on vital things that some of my other friends were giving me information because they were not making it through my newsfeed.
What are you talking about? You didn't want to see the picture of their cheesecake? Come on.
Food people, that just annoys me.
That's a whole other
ballgame. That's Instagram. And just put them there. But so people know and I just will just leave them out of my notifications. And then if they're doing stuff, bad luck, I miss out.
Because
you're clogging. And people who clog put those pictures and those quotes. One quote, okay, fair enough. If you're clogging my newsfeed with thousands of quotes and you've just discovered some new website that has the most positive things in the world, great, I'm so happy for you. Don't share it with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Keep it for yourself and share one.
Share one a day. One a day is the rule, and then two other status updates that are life-changing.
Yeah, they have to be, like, you know, that's the thing. I've done it myself where I've posted something and then something really cool happens and I go, I'm breaking my own rule. And you know what? I don't post the second thing.
Oh, no.
I think the world can miss out.
Making sacrifices on behalf of your Facebook rule.
It is.
This is shocking. It's shocking.
We're going to go to a few songs and a ad, and then we'll be back after this to talk about technology. So let us know if you've been able to switch off, how long have you done it for, Were you hyperventilating?
Yeah, where are
we? Are we making you hyperventilate now? Just the thought.
Yeah.
Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Lay Link on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Lay Link on Joy 94.9. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Like... Has someone sent us a text?
Yes, yes. So we've had someone text in and basically say that they gave it a whirl, they gave it a disconnection, they walked away from their internet, their phone, they turned off the cellular data, and within an hour, they were back onto it. So kudos for the effort.
You know? I think that's a good effort.
Top effort. I mean, they tried. It's the same with quit smoking, you know. You can always quit. Don't quit on quitting, and they don't quit on disconnecting.
Well, at least they did it during the day. It would be worse if they'd done it at night.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Because they could have gone a whole 8 hours not being connected, that they were sleeping.
That's a good idea.
You know, saying.
So that's the time to do it. Maybe that's like a leeway, like a help way in. If you're going to do it before bedtime, so that way you're already 8 hours in by the time you wake up.
And you got a message.
Oh, I did. So I've got a message, a beautiful, beautiful message here. Just wanted to say a huge hello to Roshan. Loving hearing her on Lay Link. Steve and Marianne and baby Ava sending love with hashtag Ipswich. Thanks for the reminder, guys. Seriously. But much love. Thank you for listening.
What's wrong with Ipswich?
Oh, that's an open question, that one. Plenty
Sorry, I've never been there, but...
No, Ipswich is excellent. Whoop, raise the roof. Ipswich is the place to be.
Okay, sorry. I hit a nerve. I'm apologising. I've never been there. I don't know. It sounds like a lovely place. But anyway, let's continue. Why are you guys all looking at me and shaking your heads? I must be Googling later. Sorry, I'm disconnected from Google. So let's go back. So we've been talking about this lovely lady, Charlotte Wood, who... Yeah, last week in the paper we read this article about how the fact that she decided that she was going to go 7 days without being connected to technology. So she was going to disconnect from everything.
What a legend.
I know. And we're just telling you about how her days went and what we think about it.
Because we're
sort of, you know. So by day three, you know, she said she just had a lot of spare time on her hands and that she wasn't being interrupted by emails and she was actually getting quite a bit done. And she was reading a lot more than usual. And she phoned a friend to congratulate her about something. And that was for her like a novelty because normally she would have just emailed or sent her a text. And it's like, okay.
But I like that there. She said, though, we've had a long chat. Like they had a catch-up chat. I mean, you think about the amount of times you pick up the phone and have a chat. Never. Like, unless it's your mum. Like,
no, I have friends that I chat to.
Over the phone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyone in my friendship group, it's all like text. I can't talk right now. I'm in bed. My face is on the pillow. No time to talk, you know. Or they've got their headphones and you can't hear them anyway. So, you know.
I'll text, but then I just can't be bothered after a while. So usually I'll just pick up the phone and just talk.
It depends on who it is.
Yeah, you know? But yeah.
Good point.
Day four, she's fearing the email avalanche that is building for her. And I know that fear because I feel that fear. And my inbox currently has over 100 emails in it at work. And
how daunting.
And it's scary. And when I get more emails in, I start hyperventilating. So by lunchtime, I'm sitting there just going, oh, God, I'm at 120.
Just don't press the send or receive button.
It just automatically updates. But every email I read, I get three more. I'm like, no, stop, please stop.
It's like a backlog. You get through one and you're back 8 steps.
But yeah, and she was worried about this and the fact that, yeah, people probably can't reach her and that maybe there's a few emails in her inbox that are being missed. But if it's really important, people will call you. And that's my theory. If something is really vitally important, people will find a way of contacting me.
Definitely.
You know, they'll either know my work number or something. So, you know, the little, we're going to go out for a drink after work or we're going to go meet for some chats. Or something. That's fine. Tell me that a few days in advance. Don't tell me 5 minutes before you want to do it.
It ain't going
to happen. Why? Because I'm in the car driving home and then I go, oh, sorry, ladies, I cannot meet you because I'm halfway home.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I like what you said here, that it's not so much for the fear of being pursued, but the opposite. What if instead of hundreds of emails for her attention, there are none? So she's like, it's basically saying, you know, what if no one has registered her absence? So, yeah, I respect that. Again, you know, she's saying, I'm realizing how needy I am. She needs people to want to keep in contact. And if she goes back there after 7 days and not one email, I mean, you'd kind of feel a little unloved, right?
Yeah. The best thing is that two of her friends sent her letters by snail mail. So one printed out the email that they wrote and stuck it to a postcard. So well done. And there. The other friend, yeah, just, you know, sent her an actual note. And she was like, oh, my God, actual post.
Yeah.
The only thing I get in the post is bills.
Yep. Or reminders about bills.
Yeah. So it's nice to actually get something in the post that's readable and enjoyable. So, see, her friends were finding a way around it.
Mm.
And by day five, she was supposed to meet her sister-in-law for coffee, and then she realised that she was running a bit late and she wanted to SMS. She goes, oh, I can't. And then she was sitting there thinking about, do I call her, you know? She forgot about call etiquette, you know?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, you know? Is it too late? Is it too early? Okay, she got kids. Am I waking the kids up and stuff like that?
Yeah, no, then it's a good point. I mean, when do you? I mean, if you're going out somewhere, if you call an hour before, it's like you knew the whole time. But if you call half hour, it's like, why'd you leave it so late? So I was like, where's the wiggle room?
See? And then she was actually saying that she actually read the newspaper. And she watched the entire news bulletin because she had to, because she can't just pick the bits that she likes. So she has to watch the whole thing. So, you know, so that was something different for her. And she actually bought a printed magazine, which she'd never done in 12 months.
Wow. See, I'm trying to remember. I mean, the only magazines that I can even remember, I don't think they even make them anymore. I think they were like, we'll give up on that.
You know, so it's just funny. And then by day seven, she actually was enjoying the freedom and enjoying the fact that she didn't have that on her and weighing her down, and that she'd actually had quite a relaxing week.
And she said that. She said, you know, tomorrow is the last day of her imprisonment or the last day of her freedom. So when she gets back onto the connected world, is that a bad thing or a good thing? She doesn't even realize, I don't think, on day seven anyway. She's torn now, I think. I think she's enjoyed her time.
She has. And then she said that when she, you know, went back to her email after the returning from the seventh day, that she said it wasn't that bad and it only took her about an hour to get everything back in order, and she was okay and she felt a lot better. And the best thing I like is the next day what she did was she sat down, answered a few emails, then, you know, after a few hours she thought, that's enough, put her laptop aside, grabbed a book and headed out to a park to read.
So she's incorporating it into her life. You know, I kind of see what she's saying there. You know, I feel like it's the same as when you move away from a small country town. If you've ever lived in a small country town, you'll know if you move away from it, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a week, 2 months, a year, you go back and yet it's exactly the same. It's like the day you left. So, you know, social media and the internet, essentially, without exciting news stories, is probably a bit like that, you know. You walk away from it. When you go back, there's different content. But seriously, it's probably pretty much the same, right?
Yeah, it is, because I moved overseas for 7 years, and when I came back,
exactly
it was pretty much the same. Yeah, there was a few new faces in the family because, you know, cousins or whatever were dating someone or engaged. Or so, yes, that was new people I'd missed out on, but yeah, the same day-to-day everything. Nothing had changed.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think it's definitely, you know, like you look at Facebook on the Monday, if you look at it on the Friday, the only thing is it's going to change is can't wait for the weekend. And then Friday comes, it's the weekend. So, you know.
And Mondays is, I really don't like Mondays.
Yeah.
What happened to Friday?
And the cycle continues every single week. So, you know, she's onto something here.
Yeah, I don't know about you people, but I think I'm going to try and tone down and maybe not just try not to be so connected.
So connected.
So if I'm not answering your messages and emails, don't take offence. It's not that I don't love you anymore. It's that I'm taking a break. And I will get to you in due course.
Exactly.
And yeah, so speaking of due course, you can send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email it onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Lay Link on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Lay Link on Joy 94.9. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Or head over to the joy.org.au webpage right now, even though we told you earlier to disconnect, but please don't. And on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll find the Lay Link banner, and you can click on that and connect with us via social media, download our podcast, or send us an email outside of Lay Link hours at laylink@joy.org.au.
Now, and we have a message from Scotty.
We do have a message from Scotty. So what's Scotty telling us?
So Scotty said that he was saying just earlier how he was at a dinner with a mate and told him to put his phone away because it annoyed him. And so basically it's, you know, I get that table etiquette, you know, it makes sense. Scotty's also said that he's okay with switching off and he wouldn't be able to do it though because he needs to be connected to people. So I understand that, especially for work purposes, you know, for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You get it, you know, sometimes you do need to be, you know, connected to people.
Yeah.
But as you said, though, you know, the urgency of it all, make a phone call. You know, you pick up the phone, make the call, ta-da.
Yeah, I've seen people, you know, you go to restaurants and you sit there and you watch people, and you watch people that are sitting there constantly staring at their phones. And sometimes I'm wondering if they're actually messaging each other instead of actually talking. And you just sit there watching them going, really? Like, I am guilty of it. I will sometimes in a dinner or a thing, I will at some point grab my phone just to have a look to make sure that, you know, if I'm meeting someone, I'll make sure that they're on time or something just to check messages and things like that.
Yeah.
Yes, if the conversation gets boring, I probably will bring out the phone. But, yeah, constantly staring at your phone while being surrounded by friends.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to be able to actually talk to these people.
That's it. And I think what you're saying too is that, you know, you're wondering if they're texting each other. I mean, I've been guilty of that. I know friends guilty of that. They'll be right next to each other, but nah, just send a text message just closer. Or like couples, for example. I notice if couples are ready to go, they'll text each other first and be like, you ready to go? You ready to go? They'll acknowledge that they're both ready to go. And at the same time, they'll be like, oh, well, yawn. I'm ready. Time for leaving, you know? So I notice the couples use it to their benefit as well.
But can't you just leer across the table and just give them that look?
Maybe they're still learning the look communication code, you know. Text is, you know, straight to the point.
Give them that look going, I want to go home and now.
Yeah, and, you know, most times you would know, but come on, we've all been in a spot where we're giving them that look for a really long time and they just don't get it. You want to go and they're not giving you that eye contact.
You're giving the wrong look.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun, I want to stay. Oh, gosh.
We could be doing something else right about now. You give them that look and you watch Check, Please.
Yeah, we out. Gone.
Scotty, I have some advice for you. Next time you go out to dinner with your friends, place a rule. Everybody places their phones in the middle of the table, and the person who grabs their phone first must pay for everyone's dinner.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Oh,
but
I'd never be able to go to dinner
ever. That
stops
people staring at their phones and make sure that they engage with you and stare at you.
Oh, I don't know. I'd be staring at the phone, trying not to touch it. I'd be like, oh, get away from me, phone. That'd be
so
difficult.
Yeah, and if you're at dinner with like four people, that could be an expensive meal.
Yes, I wouldn't be happy with that bill.
Now, Batwoman can't have a lesbian wedding because superheroes shouldn't have happy personal lives.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so DC Comic a few months ago, I believe, or maybe last, I think it was last year, actually allowed Batwoman to come out and have a girlfriend.
Yes.
A cop, I believe, she's dating, or she was, yeah, and then they got engaged. So the wedding was expected to be on the show, it was supposed to be panelled, and Batwoman proposed last February, okay? And it was, yeah, it was a momentous occasion because it was the first lesbian proposal in the genre of comic books, which is pretty good.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And, yeah, basically they wanted to get them married and continue that relationship. So the Caped Crusader, Kate Kane, wanted to marry her girlfriend Maggie Sawyer. She's a Gotham City police officer. So
that's a big deal.
Gotta love the police. And, yeah, so
basically the writers have walked out, essentially.
Yeah, Mr. Williams and Mr. Blackmore have got so frustrated and angry that they quit.
Yeah, they've left because DC Comics allegedly banned the superhero's lesbian wedding. What they've said, though, is that they've come back and they said that DC basically asked them to make a number of changes to what they had written. And the biggest, you know, most crushingly change that changed the entire story was the marriage, essentially. And their reasoning behind it was that superheroes aren't supposed to have happy lives or personal lives, essentially. Is that's the risk, you know, that's the sacrifice of being a superhero, is that superheroes come first, not personal lives.
Yeah, but if you've watched any of those superhero movies, they've always got some love interest and they've always got to save them at some point in the movie, and it's always important. So you can use that. We'll see what happens. So the writers have now left. They've got a new writer now, so they've got
He's
Mark
openly gay too.
And Andrikov, who is known for, he was in the part of Manhunter series, and he's taking over from issue 25 in December. So we'll see where he takes this character and where he's allowed to take this character, but it's sort of weird.
I
don't know.
I don't know. I feel like Spider-Man you know, most of his story is all about his personal life, you know, with,
yeah, it is.
With Mary Jane and stuff like that. But I mean, when you look at it though, it's not like it's a happy one. He's constantly like, yes, I want you, but oh no, I've got this destiny to be this superhero. I really can't do this. So maybe they're, you know, that's one of the things I've said. They want to keep it consistent with the DC vibe. You know, they don't want one superhero to be all hitched and happy with kids and stuff, and then the others being all like, yo, where's the sacrifice, man? Where's the sacrifice at?
So what about Superman and Lois Lane?
Oh,
Are they a DC comic?
Well, I don't know now.
No one's messaging in. I'm sorry if I got that wrong, but I don't know if they're a DC comic, but Superman, Lois Lane, come on.
That's true, I suppose. But, you know, if he's Superman, right, and you were Lois Lane, can you imagine, you know, you guys were having a nice dinner and he's all like, nah, gotta go, someone needs me. You're always going to be put second. So maybe that's what they mean. Personal lives, although they're together, it's not great. I mean, Superman's always got to run out at important
times.
But
he's very fast, so he can come back before you even notice. Well, so you may have been in the middle of a sentence going, so I was wondering, and you just feel this gust of wind, and then the gust of wind back, and then what you were thinking, and he just looks a little bit frazzled. And you're like, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I just, you know, put out a volcano or something.
Volcano, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Anyway, so what was I saying? You know, just continue.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But Batwoman, I don't know. Like, she spends most of her time as her normal persona and just, yeah. I presume, when stuff happens in Gotham City, she dones the thing. This woman's a police officer, so she must understand the call of duty.
Yeah.
Why can't they be happy together? Come on, DC Comics, make them happy.
Make the two happy.
Make them happy.
Make the figurines happy.
We want
happy.
The lesbians happy.
Well, I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting to see now that, I mean, I feel like because they've gone and hired an openly gay writer now, they're trying to take the stance that that's not what it's about. They're not against it, and they don't have, you know, their own little agenda about it. But it'll be interesting to see if maybe later on they might bring this in. Because if this causes enough of a stir where people are like, you know, man, come on, let them have their lesbian wedding, they might bring it in. They might. You don't know. People change.
The comic community is actually quite open to a lot of these concepts, and they're actually quite happy to have gay characters and stuff brought into them. They weren't protesting. So it's not bad. I don't know.
No. Oh, yeah.
I think let them have their wedding cake and eat it too.
Well, you tell us, what do you think? Should superheroes have a happy ending? Should they? Should they not?
I don't know. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Ella Hooper and you're listening to Lay Link with Basha on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Lay Link on Joy 94.9 coming to you live from Melbourne, Australia. Roshan, that's the end of our hour.
Oh, no way.
I know. It was a very quick hour.
What?
And so tonight we're talking about the fact that Effing Dykes' Christa Burton is taking a break after 5 years.
Taking a holiday.
But don't despair, people, because we have Sapphic City by LDs to fill that void. So go, LDs.
We also talked about disconnecting from the internet, disconnecting from the world, essentially, and if it's possible. And I guess the main idea there is that you don't necessarily have to be 100% switched off, but go outside, take a walk, check out the park once in a while, and just remember what living is all about.
Exactly. And we also mentioned the fact that Batwoman can't have a lesbian wedding because superheroes shouldn't have happy personal lives.
No.
And that's just not fair, DC Comics. We think superheroes should have happy personal lives. So you've been listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Lay Link and you're on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Ta-ta.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.